Mushrooms, psilocybin.
I call 2CB as being a very...
2CB.
Very excellent psychedelic.
Mescaline.
Mescaline. I don't like drugs that get too sparkly. Like the MDA world.
Yeah, I don't like stoning drugs. Mm-hmm. I don't like being stoned. That's, you don't learn anything.
I don't like drugs that inhibit communication.
Like, for instance...
MDE.
I agree with you, yeah. I could do without MDE. 2CI is good.
2CI is very good. The sexual aspects are always very, very positive contributors to liking.
If we can't make love on a drug, then there's something not quite right.
Alexander T. Shulgin died this week, June 2nd, 2014. Known to friends and admirers as Sasha, and was a biochemist and pharmacologist best known for his synthesis, creation, and personal bioessay of hundreds of novel psychoactive compounds. Sasha was born in Berkeley, California. He first began his study of organic chemistry at Harvard University. In 1943, at the age of 18, Sasha left Harvard to join the Navy. After serving in World War II, Sasha returned to Berkeley to earn his PhD in biochemistry from the University of California, Berkeley, and complete postdoctoral work in the fields of psychiatry and pharmacology at the University of California, San Francisco. After a short period working at Bio-Rad Laboratories, as a research director, he joined Dow Chemical Company as a senior research chemist. While at Dow, Sasha's interest in psychopharmacology was inspired by a profound experience with mescaline. Quote, I first explored mescaline in the late 50s, 350 to 400 milligrams. I learned there was a great deal inside me. Unquote. After developing the first biodegradable pesticide, Zectran, for Dow, resulting in a highly profitable patent, Sasha was given the freedom to pursue research of his own design. He began to research new drugs and their activity. Over the years, he published his findings in the Journal of Analytic Toxicology, the Journal of Medicinal Chemistry, Journal of Organic Chemistry, the Journal of Pharmacy and Pharmacology, the Journal of Psychedelic Drugs, Nature, Psychopharmacology Communications, as well as other journals and numerous books.
Well, Sasha's passionately committed to understanding how these drugs work and their structure activity. He's mainly a chemist. And so his real fascination, again, is to make chemicals with very small differences, you know, to test what those differences are. You know, he's been willing to test them on himself. For the longest time period, he's been the principal subject. His fundamental driving force is to understand how these compounds work and what their differences are, rather than just to get loaded.
Pretty sure he was 15 when he enrolled at Harvard. I think he only went maybe three semesters, something like that, and emotionally, it was very difficult for him because of his age compared to the age of the other people in the university, plus the difference in background.
I went into industrial chemistry, and there I really caught the good luck of having predicted the structure of something that would go commercial, and was given total license.
Evidently, he had been one of the most productive chemists in the Dow Chemical organization and had developed a series of insecticides that were making many millions of dollars for the chemistry division of the corporation, and they let him just do whatever he felt like.
That bridge could be the gateway to a whole world of Californian charms and surprises.
When I was an intern in San Francisco, 1962 to 1963, and I just loved drugs. I was always interested in how drugs act, and I wanted to be a psychiatrist, so I was particularly fascinated by drugs and the brain.
The most crooked street in the world is a curiosity.
And every Sunday, my wife and I and our friends would get together and do, quote, experiments.
That was the ceremonies in which President Bush conveyed the National Medal of Science.
So I was already fascinated by the psychedelic drugs, and when I was asked to evaluate a program involving drugs of that sort at the Dow Chemical Company, I leapt at the opportunity. When I arrived there, I learned all about what had been going on with Sasha.
From that point on, all my chemical thought process, all my plans, all my structural synthetic designs were in the area of taking the simple little molecule, mescaline, three methoxy groups and a little chain and a nitrogen, and modifying this atom, modifying that atom, change this atom to that atom, change this, make it longer, make this shorter, add something else out here, remove that. Where around this entire thing can I make all these changes, one at a time, and see where, what is it in this molecule that lets it fit into the receptor site that causes the psychedelic action?
He argued to his superiors that this could be therapeutically important at doses at which there was no risk of psychotic effects. Sasha's work took this to a level of serious corporate interest, even though this was the time of the Haight-Ashbury district in San Francisco, with publicity all over the United States about the hippies taking LSD and other psychedelic drugs and how irresponsible it was. Very, very controversial.
For some, the lifestyle of the late 60s was bohemian. Dropouts from the corporate culture joined communes on campuses, in cities, and on farms.
I was never part of the Haight-Ashbury scene. I was interested in seeing where it was going, and I would like to get what information I could get from it as to what drugs are being used. And I had made a couple of allies in the Haight-Ashbury to get little samples of materials. And from this, I was able to identify them. But some were things I had made and published. Some were just totally from other sources.
They may obtain valid insights. So often, though, all too often, they do not.
And in a turned-on or euphoric state, step or attempt to fly from cliffs and high windows with real life, permanent, non-psychedelic results. Other trippers attempt to merge their beings with large, vast automobiles.
The government was very, very scared of abuse of psychedelic drugs, and there would be corporate risks of having the Dow respected name associated with something that people could criticize. And because of that, ultimately, the board of directors of Dow decided not to go forward with this drug development.
Beginning in 1960, following Sasha's initial bioessays, a small group of friends began to join in regular group testing sessions, meticulously recording their results, the Shulgin rating scale. Following a rash of bad press about street drug abuse in the 60s, Dow Chemical became concerned with the possibility of an adverse public reaction to the nature of Sasha's work, and requested that he cease to publish as an employee of the company. Sasha subsequently ended his career with Dow in the mid-60s to pursue independent research and employment as a consultant.
Now no longer at Dow, but I have my laboratory set up at home, and I continued making compounds of new materials.
He began teaching classes in local universities and at the San Francisco General Hospital. In 1976, Sasha was alerted to the potential for MDMA by a bioessay report from a graduate student at San Francisco State University. in a medicinal chemistry group he advised. MDMA had been previously synthesized and patented in 1912 by Merck, but was never fully explored within humans. Sasha went on to develop a new synthesis method, and later that year, he introduced the chemical to Leo Zeff, a psychologist from Oakland, California. Zeff used small doses of the substance in his practice as an aid to talk therapy, and he personally introduced it to hundreds of psychologists across the nation. In the fall of 1978, a year after his first wife Nina had passed away from a stroke, Sasha met Ann Perry, a newly divorced psychedelic enthusiast who would become his most ardent supporter and eventually his partner. They were married in 1981.
Every country and every culture on Earth has at least one visionary plant that they use, or that some of them use for altering consciousness.
Perhaps 50 varieties of cactus, and they're all chosen because they're all psychoactive. I mean, we have receptors for psychedelic drugs. We do not have natural psychedelic drugs inside of us. Why do we have the receptors and not the drugs? Well, perhaps at one time she had the drugs. As part of a metabolic process, we generated the drugs that made the psychedelic state a natural state. And these people then would, I can see the potential of looking at the tooth of a saber-toothed tiger and saying, oh, look at the pretty designs on this tooth. And as a consequence of dropping your defenses against an enemy, be removed from the gene pool. So perhaps those people who did turn on because of endogenous psychedelics were removed from the gene pool, and therefore they're no longer there. The drugs are not made in the body, but the receptors are still there, because the receptors were not the hazard. It was the drug that was generated that was the hazard to survival. And so that is maybe why some of these plants with their psychedelic components turn you on, because the receptors are intact from generations, but the natural psychedelic metabolite in the body no longer exists.
Breathe in the air. Don't be afraid to care. Leave, don't leave me. Look around. How you live, how you fly, smiles you'll give and tears you'll cry. All you touch and all you see is all your life will ever be. Run, rabbit, run. Dig that hole, get the sun.
It's been, I think, a little bit embarrassing, especially to my children, that I had written quite a lot about making love under the influence of psychedelics. These books have been an exploration not just of the effects of drugs, but of the effects of these particular drugs on us.
Very wonderful. Hey, you.
Can't make love on a drug, then there's something not quite right.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha also served as an expert witness in court cases and occasionally conducted chemical analysis for law enforcement over the years. He received several awards from the DEA. In 1988, he authored the definitive manual, Controlled Substances, Chemical and Legal Guide to Federal Drug Laws, with an updated second edition appearing in 1992. In order to carry out his research, Sasha obtained a DEA Schedule I license for an analytical laboratory, allowing him to possess and synthesize scheduled substances. In 1992, Sasha and Anne published PCAL, Phenethylamines I Have Known and Loved, a chemical love story. The volume is presented in two books. Part one explores the story of a pharmacologist and his wife. Part two describes a catalog of phenethylamines with details about synthesis and reported activity. In 1994, 2 years after the publication of PCAL, the DEA raided the Shulgin Lab.
Fire in here. We got ethyl ether in here.
Let's go.
Okay. Off the path.
Mr. Cameraman.
This is a safety issue. You can take path. Your pictures, but no, you're going to do it out of the area.
The trouble started only when the first book had been published. They said, holy mackerel, or something to that effect. This guy has a DEA license. Sasha was on very good terms with a lot of the chemists in the DEA, because chemists love chemistry. And he was this maverick chemist. He had a DEA license to do lab work, and you know, this is a respectable man and a respectable scientist, so you don't just barge in.
Did my wife invite you?
We were here for the call. We'll discuss
all
that.
Let's move out of here.
We're going
to walk up the road.
If you try to resist it, the lawful detention will be an arrest.
One of them asked, you don't by any chance have any peyote here, do you? And he said, yeah, right there next to your feet. And they just jumped. Suddenly, you realize that these people were really scared of these things. It's just a little damn cactus.
All we're going to do is we're going to try to figure out what you're doing there and if what you're doing is illegal.
They had the image of somebody out of control, somebody who didn't belong in decent society.
The whole process of drug enforcement, I found it to be a huge game with them. I realized that my father was active bait for these people.
The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution.
Even though he didn't commit any crime, there was never a charge filed, but they could hound him, and I understand his frustration.
Or to the people.
In the 15 years preceding the publication of PCAL, two announced and scheduled reviews had failed to find any irregularities. Nevertheless, this time, the agency fined Sasha $25,000 for violating the terms of his DEA license by running analytical tests on street samples of potentially controlled substances that were not part of a pending legal case. Rather than having unreasonable restrictions placed onto his work by the government, Sasha decided to turn in his DEA license and entirely stop working with scheduled substances.
Sitting and staring out of the hotel window, got a tip they're gonna kick the door in again. Set up like a bowling pin, knocked down against a wearing thin that just won't let you be. No, no.
Now, in 1994, I used to hang out with a weird crowd on the dial-up internets.
Way back when.
I even had my own copy of PCAL. Shortly after the bust, I wrote to Sasha and Ann, inviting them to come on the air at KPFT and talk about it. This is back when I worked on Otis's program, Us the Folks. So they came on and they spent an hour with us, and we had so much fun, and there was so much more to talk about, they came back the following week and spent another hour with us. Now, somewhere in Otis's house is a 100-pound box of audio cassettes with those tapes in it, so we're hoping he labeled them. We're scheduled for a treasure hunt soon. Of course, the first question I had for Sasha was, didn't you think that printing a detailed cookbook for over 100 Schedule I psychedelics, recommended dosages, including 3 different recipes for MDMA, might get you in some hot water? Well, we talked about the First Amendment and the fact that all the data was already in print. He invented 95% of this stuff, and he wanted to compile it all in one place, because hopefully a less oppressive time will come when people are allowed to experiment with these things. He was printing the book for a hopeful future. It's his life's work. His answer was, how could I not? I corresponded with Ann and Sasha for a while, mostly about drug policy reform, which was not a popular issue in the mid-90s, a real uphill battle. My problem was, what do you say to a guy who knows everything? Sometime later, a friend of mine, I forget his name, he gave me a sheet of little paper square things, you know what I'm talking about? So you know what I'm thinking, right? Party at my house! So we threw some speakers in the backyard and strung some Christmas lights out back there and invited a bunch of friends over. Problem was, a very close friend of mine was nursing a baby, and we didn't know if it was safe for her to take the ride. And the poor thing, she had to carry the baby for 9 months, no drinking, no smoking. Time to party, right? But who knows if that stuff shows up in breast milk and suddenly you've got some kind of 2001 orbiting space baby shooting laser beams out of its eyes. I was pretty lit up and I said, I know who to ask. So we called up Sasha and Ann in California, and in a pretty obvious code, we put the question to the old master. Unbelievably, he dropped whatever he was doing and spent the next 20 minutes on the phone going through some reference book, and I'm shooting the breeze with Ann and we're passing the phone around. Turns out he couldn't find anything on it. It's probably not known. They can't even detect that stuff in your blood. So they both advised against us, and Mama had to settle for tour guide that night. That's the last time I spoke with those guys. The baby's 20 years old now. Definitely the smartest and some of the most gracious people I've ever talked to. Great people. Sasha's really going to be missed. Setback, the Shulgins continued to develop and pioneer new psychoactive substances, carefully working within the boundaries of the law. In 1997, Sasha and Ann published TCAL, tryptamines I have known and loved, further detailing both their love story and the chemical research in the area of psychoactive tryptamines. In 2002, Sasha and Wendy Perry co-authored The Simple Plant Isoquinolines, which describes those plants that contain isoquinolines and provided the names and details of their chemical structure. The Shulgin Index, Volume 1, Psychedelic Phenethylamines and Related Compounds, and eagerly awaited comprehensive catalogs of these chemicals produced in the style of the Merck Index, was released in March 2011 with the assistance of co-authors Tanya Manning and Paul F. Daly. Over the past few years, Sasha saw the effects of aging. On April 8, 2008, at the age of 82, he underwent surgery to replace a defective aorta. On November 16, 2010, Sasha suffered a stroke. December of 2010, another stroke, followed by skin grafting surgery to save his left foot. Around this time, Sasha also began to start showing early signs of age-related dementia. In early 2014, it was confirmed he had terminal liver cancer. Sasha lived out the final years of his life at his home in Northern California, assisted by extraordinary caregivers and supported by his family and friends. He passed away on June 2, 2014 at exactly 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He was survived by loved ones, listening to Buddhist meditation movement, and his going was graceful, with almost no struggle at all.
Sasha's basically retired. He's trying to write up his final book.
I take the printout. Wow. I can't even read that anymore now.
Oh, that's terrible.
You know, secretly, down secretly, I wish there were a drug we could find that could, someone could take it and they could go, do you realize how f***ed up you are in your thinking? You know, do you realize what you've done? You know, what we as the most advanced civilization in the world, what have we done? We landed on a moon, but other than that, and we have the best weapons, we have the best, you know, stealth missiles, the best stealth bombers, the, you know, the best machine guns, the best laser-guided missiles. I mean, is that something to be proud of? You know, I don't think so.
This has been the Interside Radio Program's tribute to Sasha Shulgin, who passed away this week. The recordings of Sasha and their friends and colleagues were pulled from a documentary about the Shulgins called Dirty Pictures, which you can find on the YouTube. Check it out. It's fascinating. This and all previous Interside Radio programs are archived on the internet. Simply Google The Interside. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Scooter, and I'll see y'all next week.